Hi, everyone. I'm Katie Couric, and welcome to Next Question. I'm popping back on the podcast to share an important conversation I recently had with Dr. Anthony Fauci, and of course, he needs no introduction. There is a lot to discuss: breakthrough cases, vaccine mandates, booster shots, when and where you should be masking up, and the possibility of a variant worse than Delta. I know, lots of scary news. But we're here to explain it all. Take a listen, spread the word, and let's end this pandemic already. Right, guys? I know I am sick of it, and I'm sure you are too. A friend of mine recently described getting the vaccine shots as the Fauci ouchie. So please, get yours if you haven't already. Okay, here's Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci, this pandemic was supposed to be in our rearview mirror at this point. But as you recently said, the country may be in trouble this fall. How frustrated are you?
Well, it is a frustration, Katie, but it's just the reality. The virus that we're dealing with is a different virus than we were dealing with several months ago. And we just have to deal with the reality of that. It's a more formidable virus. It translates much more efficiently. And even individuals who are vaccinated, even though they're largely protected from serious disease, nonetheless can get infected and even transmit it.
Let me ask you about that, because I think, Dr. Fauci, there's been a lot of confusion about this Delta variant. Even if you're vaccinated, the CDC says you can spread it, and compared it, in fact, to the chickenpox. But the White House COVID response team pushed back on that assessment. Can you clarify once and for all if vaccinated people can spread the Delta variant at the same rate as unvaccinated people?
Okay, let me first say one thing that will be a background that will clarify. The vaccine is doing exactly what we wanted it to do. It's preventing people from getting seriously ill. That's the reason why you get vaccinated. However, this virus is so transmissible that it can infect, even though it's a small fraction, it can infect vaccinated people almost invariably in a way that they're either without symptoms or only mildly symptomatic. So it's less that it's going to make the vaccinated person sick. It's more that it's going to allow the vaccinated person to transmit it to someone else who might get sick, like a vulnerable person in the family, an elderly individual, a child who's unvaccinated. So the issue with a person who is vaccinated, who gets infected, the level of virus in the nasopharynx of that person is relatively equivalent to that of an unvaccinated person, which means there's a mechanism to say that that person very well might be able to transmit it. And in fact, we have documented cases where a vaccinated infected person did transmit.
So it can be transmitted in a vaccinated person at the same rate as an unvaccinated.
You know, it is potentially, I want to clarify for you because I do want to make sure there's no confusion. The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected is the same level as the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person. So you can make a reasonable assumption that they can be equivalent in how they transmit. However, there's one thing that works in favor of the vaccinated person. That level, though it starts off the same as an unvaccinated person, it decreases much more quickly.
Because of the vaccine.
Exactly.
Cases are rising in 49 states, with a handful of states experiencing serious surges. But the good news is the vaccination rates in many of these states is increasing as well. In fact, 70% of American adults have now gotten at least one dose of the vaccine. The question is, is herd immunity still possible at this point?
Yes, it is, but it won't happen, Katie, unless we get a vast majority of the 93 million people who are still unvaccinated who are eligible to be vaccinated. Unless we get them vaccinated, they are not going to contribute to the concept of herd immunity. So herd immunity, there's a concept of herd immunity, which means you have enough vaccinated people plus people who were infected and protected so that the virus doesn't have any place to go. There aren't any vulnerable targets. We're not there yet. We don't know what the percentage is. Is that going to be 90% of the people who are still unvaccinated, or is that going to be 85 or 80? We don't know. When you don't know, you know what you do? You just get as many people vaccinated as you possibly can.
Just as the Delta variant has now become part of our vocabulary, we're hearing about new variants, this B1621 in Florida, the Delta Plus variant. Which variants, Dr. Fauci, are you most concerned about? And are you worried that the current vaccines will not be effective against them?
Well, I am worried more about a variant that we haven't even seen yet. Because the current Delta variant is so efficient in its ability to crowd out the other variants that even though there are the variants you mentioned, which there's no reason to believe that they're going to be worse than the Delta variant, they are not overtaking the Delta variant. Mm-hmm. So the one good thing is that the vaccines work quite well against the Delta variant. In some respects, it's good that the Delta variant is not being outstripped by the others because we know we can deal with the Delta variant really quite well. My concern is that if we allow there to be smoldering infection into the fall and into the winter because those 93 million people are not getting vaccinated for the most part, my concern would be you may allow a variant that we haven't even recognized yet to come along and in fact be better at transmitting and more serious than the Delta. We haven't seen that yet. So rather than be worrying about these others that are around, let's make sure we don't let new ones come in.
Well, are unvaccinated people the reason we're seeing these new strains? And will an increase in vaccinations mitigate the virus morphing in multiple ways?
Well, that's a good one because the answer is short. Yes.
Okay, that's all you need to say. So in other words, please get vaccinated.
More with Dr. Anthony Fauci right after this.
Let's talk about boosters. The WHO just announced a moratorium on booster shots until more countries can get a hold of the vaccine. But companies like Pfizer are saying their efficacy decreases after about 6 months. And a number of countries, Israel, Germany, and the UK, among others, are starting to offer booster shots. Where do you stand on boosters for the US?
I think we can do both, Katie. I think if we need an additional boost, an additional dose to get the optimal protection because it essentially attenuates for a while, I believe that we can do that in this country, particularly for people who are immunosuppressed, people who are on cancer chemotherapy, people who have transplant. They very well may need as part of their primary regimen a three-shot boost of an mRNA. We are doing a lot and we will be doing more to supply doses internationally. I believe that we are capable, not only our own nation, but also the other wealthy nations in the world can do both. You certainly want to pay very good attention to getting vaccine doses to the developing world, but I believe you can do both. You can boost and get doses to them.
If you get a J&J or a Moderna vaccine, can you get a Pfizer booster or do you have to stick with one brand?
Well, we're doing studies right now. They're referred to as mix and match studies to see if there's any issue with giving one vaccine as the prime followed by the other as the boost or giving two of the same and then let the third one be different. As a scientist, I don't think there's going to be an issue with that, but you want to formally prove it. And that's the studies that are being done to do that.
A lot of doctors in hospitals nationwide are saying the population of patients they're seeing this go round is very different than the initial surges. They're younger, they're in their 20s and 30s, younger, sicker, quicker. Do we know why? And is that, in your view, convincing younger people to get vaccinated?
Well, in answer to your second question, I hope the realization that you're not exempt from getting either seriously ill with COVID-19 or even getting long COVID after you recover, which is something that people should take seriously, namely the persistence of symptoms. One of the likely reasons, there may be more than one, one of the reasons you might be seeing, relatively speaking, more young people being hospitalized is that first you're dealing with a very transmissible virus. So everybody who's unvaccinated is getting infected. You're seeing more young versus older because we already know that 80% of the elderly population is already vaccinated. So there's a skewing that among the unvaccinated, relatively speaking, more of them are young. So it is not surprising that when you look at hospitalizations, you're seeing relative to the elderly, it looks like there are more young than are being hospitalized. That's very true because the elderly are more protected because more of them are vaccinated.
Let's talk about breakthrough cases. My understanding is they're being tracked only if they require hospitalization or death. Shouldn't we be tracking breakthrough cases among the general population? I imagine that would be pretty difficult to do, but especially if you're asymptomatic. But isn't that something we should be focused on so we can get real numbers about the, you know, who is getting COVID after vaccination? Right.
Well, yeah, but you really want to do it. What the Israelis have done and what the Brits have done, but most of the Israelis, is rather than do it generally in the population, that when you get someone who's infected and they're asymptomatic, you test all of their contacts, not just the contacts of the sick people. And the CDC is going to be starting to do that. In fact, they already are.
Was that a mistake to not do it right away? Because I don't know, it just hospitalizations or deaths seem to be, not the whole picture.
Yeah, no, Katie, I'm not going to answer that directly. When I say something of a mistake or not, it's an automatic soundbite. It's not productive. So I'll refrain from that.
You don't want to criticize the CDC's protocol?
I think the CDC tries their very best. They don't always get it right, but they definitely try their best and they're very competent.
Last weekend, almost 400,000 people went to Lollapalooza. Attendees, this was a big music festival in Chicago. Attendees needed to provide their vaccine card or negative COVID test in order to go. But looking at those photos in Millennial Park, did they freak you out?
I was a bit taken aback by the film clips that I saw. There were a lot of people crowded around together, you know, and given the fact that we know that vaccinated people can spread infection. And even though we know that outdoors is always safer than indoors, there was a really lot of crowded that we saw in those films. So I got a little bit concerned about that myself.
Would you avoid those kinds of crowds if it were you or if it were me or my daughters?
I'm pretty risk averse, Katie. So I would, even though I'm vaccinated, I don't think I would go to a really massively crowded where you're essentially face to face with somebody. I would be concerned about that.
There have been suggestions, most notably by former HHS Secretary Alex Azar, President Trump could do more to convince the unvaccinated. Nearly 30% of Republicans say they're not planning to be vaccinated, and the Democrats could be giving President Trump more credit for Operation Warp Speed. Do you agree? And are there other ways to depolitize the simple act of getting vaccinated?
Well, I think there needs to be depoliticizing always when you're in a public health issue. I've been saying that for a year and a half. Sometimes it has gotten me to be the brunt of people's criticism because there is politicization, usually by people who are trying to say, we shouldn't be doing the things that are public health measures. And I think that that's really unfortunate. What I'm heartened by is that we are seeing Republican leaders who are saying get vaccinated. I mean, Governor Asa Hutchinson is beating the bushes in Arkansas doing that. Steve Scalise has really been promoting vaccines. Even Governor DeSantis in Florida has been saying that, despite the fact that he is saying that he doesn't want there to be mask mandates, he is encouraging vaccination, which is good.
New York City will become the first U.S. city to require proof of at least one vaccination shot in order to enter places like bars, restaurants, and gyms. Do you think this strategy should be adopted nationwide? It seems to be a pretty good way to motivate people to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I do think that as a public health person, we should be putting more pressure on people to get vaccinated. And I believe when the FDA comes through, hopefully within the next few weeks, to make this an officially approved vaccines, plural, as opposed to just an EUA, I hope that we will then have people feel much more empowered to do some kind of mandating. For example, universities and colleges saying you're not going to be able to come in person unless you get vaccinated. I think that would chuck a lot of young people who are resistant to get vaccinated. I think large corporations will be doing the same thing.
I was going to ask you that. Google, Microsoft, Tyson's Foods, requiring employees to be fully vaccinated. Do you think that more will be empowered after the FDA approves it?
Katie, I'm convinced of that. I think that if you talk to people, you know, off the record, they don't want to be talking about it publicly. They're saying that once they get the backup of a fully approved vaccine, they'll be much more enthusiastic about mandating for their enterprise that you need to be vaccinated.
After this break, Dr. Fauci answers your most pressing questions.
We're going to do a quick round robin of practical advice from questions we got from social media, Dr. Fauci. Should people be wearing masks regardless of their vaccination status? Indoors, I think, is probably more specific.
Yes, that's a CDC recommendation, and I totally agree with it.
How do the COVID variants affect children under 5? I'm concerned about them getting sick from the virus with the new variants and no protection.
Well, you should be concerned because everyone is susceptible, whether you're a child, an adult, or an elderly. If you're unvaccinated, you are susceptible. It is true that young children generally do not get as seriously involved with the severe form of COVID-19 when they're very, very young. But we are starting to see in real time that there are now young people who you would have expected were less likely who are getting seriously ill. There have been close to 400, about 350 plus children who have died thus far from COVID-19. That's more than influenza on any given year. That's more than respiratory syncytial virus on any given year.
And it's still a mystery why some people get sick and some people don't. So better safe than sorry. One Florida grandmother who's fully vaccinated wanted me to ask you if she should wear a mask when visiting or babysitting her 4 and 6-year-old grandsons, especially since they're not required to wear a mask in school.
If grandma is unvaccinated,
she's fully vaccinated.
No, then she doesn't need to wear a mask.
But she doesn't need to worry about the Delta variant being transferred from the children to her?
No. When you're in the home setting, if you are vaccinated and you have children in the home setting, you do not need to wear a mask.
Speaking of schools, there is still no real consensus on how to keep kids safe in school, as well as teachers. And that's creating a ton of anxiety, as you know. People are kind of pulling out their hair thinking, oh my God, do I have to deal with this again this school year? What do you say to parents and school officials facing another uncertain year?
Well, there are a couple of ways to safeguard children and get them back to school in person. It is a very important primary goal in the fall to get the children in class and not virtual, because we are well aware of the deleterious effects on children. their development, their mental health, their educational development to get them in school. Therefore, we've got to make sure they're safe in school. There are a couple of ways to do that. Get the people who are eligible to be vaccinated around the children, get them vaccinated. Teachers, school staff, and anybody else. For those who are not able to be vaccinated, the only way you can protect them, and the CDC recommendations are clear. In school, everyone should be masked, whether you're vaccinated or not. That's a very clear recommendation by the CDC.
When will the vaccine be available for children under 12?
We don't know the answer to that, Katie. We are doing studies to getting information that would be able to validate a decision to do that. We're collecting those data. We'll get more and more of it as we approach the fall. But ultimately, that will be a regulatory decision by the FDA together with an advisory condition from the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices that advises the CDC.
So this may take quite a while.
Well, I hope it doesn't take quite a while. I hope we do it within the next several months. But
Oh, really?
I hope before the end of the year, but we don't know that. That's an FDA decision.
Someone on our team is asking, if vaccinated people can spread the virus, why aren't they required to be quarantined if they've been exposed to someone who has tested positive?
No, you just need to test if you've been exposed. You don't need to quarantine.
Someone says, I'm being treated for leukemia and did not make antibodies from the vaccine. What can I do to protect myself?
Well, that's an individual, first of all, to wear a mask. That's the first thing. But I hope that we will provide protection for that individual and people in her same situation by relatively quickly making the decision to get an additional dose to immunosuppress people. They are a different category than a healthy or even an elderly healthy person, because a person who is either immunosuppressed from transplant, from chemotherapy, or from immunosuppression likely never made an adequate immune response to begin with.
Someone asked Dr. Fauci if immunosuppressant drugs reduce the efficacy of the COVID vaccine.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it does.
It does. So, go ahead.
If you are immunosuppressed because of the drugs that you are taking for transplant, for cancer chemotherapy, or for an autoimmune disease, the drugs that you receive to suppress your disease also suppress your ability to respond to the vaccine.
So you should talk to your doctor about
getting a
booster shot. And, you know, when this whole thing started, I remember summer was the time when it wasn't going to be very contagious and wasn't going to be a problem because people were going to be spending more time outside. So that hasn't been the case. What do you foresee for the fall and winter? More lockdowns? What do you think is going to happen?
I don't see lockdowns because there is substantial enough proportion of the population that's fully vaccinated, 60%. There are 70% of the adults have at least a single dose that it was accomplished a couple of days ago. And we have more than 80% of the elderly population that are vaccinated. Under those circumstances, you're still going to have a lot of spread if we don't get that 93 million people who are eligible to be vaccinated, but you won't have such a situation that would trigger a lockdown. I would be very surprised if that happens. What you will have is spread of infection predominantly among the unvaccinated, and you will see hospitalizations predominantly among the unvaccinated as we go through the fall and into the winter, if we don't very aggressively get people vaccinated.
We got so many comments about you and from people who deeply admire you, Dr. Fauci, and the job you've done. What's the best advice you've been given about how to get through these tumultuous times?
Well, I mean, I think what you need to do if you're in a position like I am as a public health person and a scientist and person who develops vaccines is to just focus on your job. We're in a very difficult position. We have things going against us. A, we have a very formidable virus. And B, we have a very divisive society where you just can't run away from the fact that there's a lot of bad news politics going on here. We've got to focus on our job. And if you're not a medical person and you're trying to get just through this, A, get vaccinated, and B, obey or listen to, as it were. I wouldn't say obey because that's not an order. They're not ordering you to do it, but listen to the recommendations of the CDC.
Dr. Fauci, always great to see you. Thank you so much for talking with me. You got to reach people however you can, right?
Yes. Thank you for having me, Katie. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Next Question with Katie Couric is a production of iHeartMedia and Katie Couric Media. The executive producers are me, Katie Couric, and Courtney Litz. The supervising producer is Lauren Hansen. Associate producers, Derek Clements, Adriana Fazio, and Emily Pinto. The show is edited and mixed by Derek Clements. For more information about today's episode or to sign up for my morning newsletter, Wake Up Call, go to katiecouric.com. You can also find me at Katie Couric on Instagram and all my social media channels. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.